Okay, so now we're going down to number 10, 2376, in regards to John McWhorter, DVM. This was a straight-to-the-board case, and you can read the short summary.
Sure, case 2376, complainant is Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board, respondent is John McWhorter, DVM. On January 18, 2023, the board voted to open investigation with respect to respondent's comment of non-compliance of Board Order 2225 in re John McWhorter, DVM. And yes, this was brought straight to the board after you guys opened it, and we got a response from Dr. McWhorter.
Thank you, Tracy. Dr. McWhorter, you're here. I can give you up to 5 minutes to speak if you just introduce yourself first for the record as well.
My name is John McWhorter. I've recently had back surgery, pardon my service animal. With that as well, this chair feels very good, but occasionally I get into a certain fitting chair and I get a cramp. If I need to stand up, please pardon me for that. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to come before the board and review my plan for corrective actions as I have emailed to Victoria for your review. I've prepared and present my corrective plan in all the, in the three areas, pharmacology, communications, and small animal reproductive disease. With the limited resources on continuing education on small animal reproductive diseases, I was waiting until I had more specific corrective plan to submit to you, and it just so happened within the last couple of days, Society for Theriogenology put out a on-site conference. So I submitted those as well as the previous ones I had submitted. They're hodgepodge and some hours, 1 hour, half hour, 2.5 hours, etc. In hindsight, I realize I should have notified the board that I was pursuing all avenues, trying to find the courses I need to meet the requirements as requested. I have also resubmitted new courses on both pharmacology and communications, which I feel are more in line with the original directions of the original complaint. Now that I have found the required courses, I will be able to fulfill the action plan in a timely fashion and as originally requested. I knew that my situation with surgery was coming up. I was mistakenly thinking that I had time at that point to submit the new classes that were requested, and I lost track of time with those outside concerns. Thank you again for your time. Any suggestions or recommendations would be greatly appreciated. I will, once the online courses are done, the submission of the certificates with either Victoria or excuse me, will be on a timely fashion, and as soon as the theriogenology course, once I get back from there with the certificate, it will be submitted as well. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. And you know what? You can stay right there in case anybody has any quick questions for you.
Okay.
So, and Mr. Loheed is the lead on this case.
So this is a case that was opened for non-compliance of the board order for 2225. So the cases or the CE hours proposed or planned will conform to that 2225 board order. So it's kind of I had to scribble some notes here to kind of figure this out because they're all kind of split up. So we got what I saw on the Theron Jones. I don't know if I'm saying it right. How you say it?
Theriogenology.
Okay, so I saw 6 hours on there, but only 5 that I thought were qualified. And I think on the written, there was another written list, so that was on on an email from the 18th, and then on an email from the 11th, there was five that were, that are papers to read. There was a list of papers to read, and then there was a list with the, there was pharyngology, and then there was three others.
Okay. My original research on trying to find the courses in small animal theory, I could find lots of papers.
Yeah.
Very few courses on theriogenology. I went to every university. I went to the professional sites of Vetfolio, et cetera. And there were very, very few courses available. As you saw in those last two emails, we received, or I received a, that there was a theriogenology course offered out of state. I submitted those to Victoria. They had not even, they had named the course. There was no course description.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last email included the course description. We got, I got those just this past Monday.
So I'm going to recommend that we accept one of the written, because there's only five of the others hours. What I counted out, there was 5 hours of the other. And you got another five for the written, so
okay.
If the rest of the board's okay with it, I would suggest we take the 1 hour of the written aloud and the five that are either the online or in person. And for the pharmacology, you need 3 hours. I see four submitted, and the client communications, 3 hours, and I see four submitted. So if nobody has any objections,
I was gonna say, does Victoria have something to add or no?
I just wanted y'all to clarify, are we also talking about the other agenda item related to the CE plan? Because I believe you called the initial investigative review, which is just about the fact that he didn't originally comply.
Yes.
And then there's a second agenda item that you can discuss at the same time, which I think that you are.
Okay.
But Madam Chair, I don't know that you called the second
okay.
agenda item.
Got it. So let's see. So we are doing section four, number 10.
Also.
In, together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I have a quick question of staff. Just to clarify, we do not currently have an approved CE plan. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
So that's what we're trying to approve.
Yeah.
So I skipped ahead.
I know. It makes sense.
But it kind of changed.
Yeah.
Because we got two of them very similar, and at the last minute, all of a sudden we got plans, or proposed plans.
Right.
But it was last minute. And it was late.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, so I'm going to take the action on the section four, number 10, to move that we approve the CE plan with the five in-person or online repro courses and allowing only one of the written. No brucellosis, don't count. Accept any of the four of the pharmacology proposed, or any three of the four, and any three of the four on the client communications that were proposed.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion passes.
So now we get the open case, and the question is, what do we do? It was late.
No.
And it cost a lot of time and effort for staff in the communications and going back and forth. So I wrote down a couple of big question marks, a degree of censure or a civil penalty.
Now, we have a civil penalty, what, $1,500 already on table from the...
There's already $1,500 that goes with all those continuing education hours. But on the other hand, if every consent agreement happened like this, we would never get anything done.
Yeah.
Staff would get anything done.
Yeah.
So...
I agree with that, but I also think we've heard kind of just reasons on life getting in the way of best intentions.
Well, and I understand...
And I know that we shouldn't have to take that into account.
But the back surgery was last month, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And thinking that, yeah, I can get them done while I'm laid up from this, I can do some online stuff as I'm recuperating. But the plan is just a plan.
Right.
And if, and I, you know, I can sympathize, there are some things that are hard to find. And if it's too narrow focused and they're hard to find, then you got to reach out and say, wait a minute, I need more time because I am looking. Here's what I found. It really isn't what you want, but I'm still looking. Because we're not going to look for them. They have to do it.
Ultimately, he did find it.
And ultimately, he did find it. Ultimately, he did find it. But within the last month when he's been laid up. So, right, it's not, but it wasn't...
And you look at all the, I mean, just looking at all the cases where we see where people are non-compliant, it's always putting it off to the last minute, forgetting about it, not, I always wonder, do you not think it's important? Does this not really, like, why are we putting off? Because life always gets in the way, and that's always the excuse.
I was going to say, that's...
It's like, get things done.
That's my thing, though. I feel like, and maybe I've changed as I've gotten older, and maybe I'm a little bit more understanding of people's lives as you start dealing with medical conditions, and you start dealing with things in family, and you start, you get to the point that things get overloaded, and you are one person, and you can only do so much. And the pressure that we continue to put on people, I'm not saying I like the behavior. I'm not saying that I think in the future I would want people to always be late. No, but somebody that comes before us that's respectful, that has reasons as to why this happened, and why the communication was bad, I just feel like we should approve the courses and trust that this isn't going to happen again. If it continues to happen, we're in a different situation.
Am I correct that this is about 8 months of non-compliance? Is that what it... I just wanted to say, this is a lot of time here.
I know, I can appreciate what Sergeant James is saying, but...
I agree, totally, and appreciate it.
And I appreciate your honesty, and you were just, you know, forthright, and that matters, too. But...
All right, so I am going, and we'll see if we get a second or not, I am going to make a motion to issue a decree of censure. I don't think penalties, CEs, or anything that is appropriate is going to be of any benefit.
Second.
And Chair, members of the board, what I think, if you want to offer a decree of censure, you'd want to do that in the consent agreement, and you need to find, you know, findings of facts and conclusions of law because it is a disciplinary action.
So I move to find the findings of fact and conclusions of law that the...
You have to comply with the board order.
Yeah. Was that in the, straight to board, or did you have to name it?
The 1231-22.
Failure to comply with board order 2225.
Oh, yeah, okay.
In the established time period.
Would that be ARS 3222, number 18?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's closest.
Yeah.
3222, 32, 18. So that'll be our findings of fact, conclusions of law. And so we got a vote on that first. So I'm going to move those, we have findings of fact, conclusions of law, as stated.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Can we do roll call on this one, Dr. James?
Yep. Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is a nay. Mr. Lohe?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes.
And then for the penalty, I'd make a motion to do a decree of censure.
Except for a consent agreement.
For consent agreement and with a decree of censure. And if not accepted in 15 days, goes to an informal.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, now a second.
Motion and a second. Again, let's do roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is a nay. Mr. Logie?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes.
That concludes that one.
That's, we're good. If there's any questions or confusion after that, you're welcome to speak with Victoria Whitmore after the meeting, okay?
How's your recovery going so far? On track?
It's on track.
Good.
Yes, we got everything.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Now we are on number 11, 2377, regards to Lorna Landman, DBM. This is another straight to the board one, so fairly brief summary, but Tracy, I'll have you read that for us.
Case 2377, the complainant is the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board. Respondent is Lorna Landman, DBM. On January 18th, 2023, the board voted to open an investigation with respect to respondent's conduct due to non-compliance with Board Order 2984 in re Lorna Landman, DBM. And yes, it was brought straight to the board after we received a response from Dr. Landman.
Okay, thank you, Tracy. And Mr. Loki, do you have the lead on this one again?
So we got a very similar case. 2377 was opened for non-compliance of Board Order 2184. And in the interim, since it has been agendized, the hours have been submitted. And it looks like they're correct. Does anybody else object to that? You're all seeing what I see. So again, on this one, this kind of, this ties into the section 2, item 11, ties into section 4, item 9. So I'm going to kind of take this in reverse order like I did in the last one and make a motion that we accept the completion of the continuing educations. The civil penalty was received, correct?
Right. Yes.
As required by the consent agreement, 2184. And I am going to leave out the part about returning to active status. So that would be my motion. Accept those completions.
Have we read the agenda item for 4, number 9?
Yes, so we're doing...
We discussed take action on completion of the communication. So it's completed, right? And paid? So I'd make a motion that we, so do we, so is that, so that is just to return it to active status?
That's what that agenda item's
going
to be for, yes.
Okay, so let me
So it's done and we don't have to accept that. So forget I even brought that up.
Sorry, let me read number 9 that we're on as well, since again, we did this backwards, my apologies. 2184, in regards to Lorna Landman, DBM, board may review, discuss, and take action on completion of continuing education and civil penalty payment as required by consent agreement and may return license to active status.
So okay, we're good on that because the other one's a whole different case.
Correct.
So that one we would, I make a motion to accept and return license active status.
And I'll second that.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion passes.
Okay. Apologies, Madam Chair, and our Assistant Attorney General for creating havoc here.
No, what you're doing, it makes sense.
All right, so the only thing before us is the 2377, which is non-compliance of board order 2184. That has, in the meantime, since this has been agendized recently, been complied with. So again, it's the same situations or similar situations before. So I'm going to advise or we find the conclusions of law or findings of fact.
So can I interrupt you real quick? Because Victoria is saying she wants to share.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I think what we missed last time, we should do this time, is ask is if there's a past disciplinary history.
Well, and she may also want to address the board, if you don't mind, before we terminate it.
Sure. You would like to state your name for the record, and we can give you 5 minutes to speak.
Yes, I would, please. On July 22nd, I'm sorry, I'm Marna Lehman. On July 22nd, 2022, Order 2184 required a CE plan to be submitted by email. I did so on time, but I failed to add a summary of each of the courses. Ms. Whitmore sent me a courtesy email to our business email and to my attorney, but did not reply to all, which included my personal email and the personal email of our practice manager. The email did not show up in our business email at all. And my attorney did not notify me that he received the email, so I did not know to send the additional information, and my CE plan was rejected due to that missing information. I appreciate Ms. Whitmore's courtesy to inform me of the missing information, but if I had received your email on my provided personal email, I would have submitted the missing information and been approved for the courses, completed the courses at the International Emergency and Critical Care Symposium in September, conference, and the deadline to provide the courses CE would have been met. We were then informed after I returned home from that meeting that we were denied, and we had until September 21st for a revised plan, which we did supply on September 20th. Those courses were all to be given at the North American Veteran Conference in January. The board denied several of those courses at the September 28th meeting without providing specific reasons. I contacted Ms. Whitmore in an attempt to determine why the board denied the courses and was advised that I needed to listen to the recording of the board meeting. After listening to hours of the recorded board meeting, it was unclear what I could do to be in compliance. Dr. John McWhorter, in the very same meeting, was given specifics of what he needed to provide in IV 322-25. However, in IV 621-84, Lorna Landman, the minutes read that the board simply stated that they denied the order, the other courses, without providing specific guidelines on what would be acceptable. I was surprised I was not given any information with these courses, what courses to be acceptable, as the original board order merely stated the CE should be in the area of neurology / IBDD. And I submit, the courses that I submitted were all in those neurology sessions to be given at the North American meeting. So I searched for CE at different meetings and even called a neurology specialist asking if he knew of any courses available. The next meeting was a Western Veterinary Conference in February, and I registered for that meeting. I was then given an additional 30 days to submit the remaining CE courses in compliance with the consent agreement, but given that there was no additional guidance in what was accepted by the board, even after reaching out to the executive director and listened to all those hours, I did not know what to do to complete the requirements and therefore missed that subsequent deadline. My attorney did not advise me to ask for a continuance, so I didn't know to do that. On February 11th, we submitted a revised plan in hopes that the board would approve those submissions. We were then informed by Ms. Whitmore that the board would not consider the plan until March 15th, by which time the courses at that meeting would be denied, as they would been attended prior to approval, but that others would possibly be approved, which could satisfy the requirements. I spoke to the veterinarian at their Vet Girl booth at the Western Veterinary Conference, and asked them if they had any neurology / IVD courses, and she said that she would put in a request for them. I went to their website and found the new courses that were offered, along with another website, which she suggested, that offered neurology / IVD courses. I completed those courses immediately, and it's my sincere hope that these remaining courses will suffice to satisfy these requirements. As I went to 3 major meetings and did all I could to try to comply with this order, and it was, it was very difficult to find courses. Even the neurologist couldn't give me any information. So I feel like I tried my best to answer and complete the requirements. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lumpkin?
So, it isn't staff's responsibility to find these. It's up to the veterinarian. When we say, and I didn't go back and look at the old to see what it was that we turned down, but the reason we turned it down is because it was not related to neurology or that IE, whatever it is. They were not related. That's why we turned them down. So there's nothing to, there's no dispute there. And I think part of the, from what I've seen on the emails going back and forth, there's an in-between person. It's not always you directly or Dr. Lanham directly going to the staff. It's an office manager or somebody that's the go-between between the two.
And then
so that does not help out. That does not help with communications.
Correct.
So I can sympathize with listening to hours of these meetings. I listen to hours of it too. And if you don't know exactly where it is, you got to do a lot of fast forwarding and stuff to try to estimate. I mean, if you've been here before, you can kind of estimate it, kind of find your spots and to narrow it down so you don't have to listen to the whole thing. But yeah, that can be trying. But there is specific, we have dialogue like this where there is discussion and somebody's going to throw out an idea or something, and we certainly said why it would not allow. And it's always not allowed because it's not related to what was in the order. I mean, that's just, it's very simple. We don't change up stuff like that. So again, we're going to go back to, it's the same thing. We finally got that taken care of, the 2184. So the issue for us today is the 2377, and not getting things done in a timely manner after extensions. So I'm going to find that we did the same as we did in the other one, the 20. Find that our findings of fact are that there was not timely compliance with Board Order 2184. And find the violation and their conclusions of law is violation of 2232.18. Violating or attempting to violate directly or indirectly or assisting or abetting the violation or conspiracy to violate any of the provisions of this chapter or rule adopted by the board or a written board order. So specifically a written board order. And that is my motion.
Okay.
Motion. Second.
And a second. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I would just say that I agree with your concern about the staff handling the communication, and I have a question for Victoria on these emails. Did you get a notification these emails did not reach their intended? You know how you get that email didn't make it You know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about, no.
No, you didn't get it, and those emails didn't get to there.
No, not the one that she referenced today, that they might not have.
Thank you.
Okay. No further discussion, let's do, we have to do roll call on that one, or, yes. Dr. James, can you do roll call for us?
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is a nay, Mr. Logue?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Ray?
Aye.
Okay, the ayes have it.
History, please.
And let's see, for Dr. Landman, in 2014, there was a case that was dismissed, but Dr. Landman was issued a letter of concern with respect to medical record keeping omissions. In 2016, Dr. Landman was found in violation of errors 3222, number 11, malpractice, gross negligence, and gross incompetence for failure to use scientifically accepted diagnostic methods to evaluate a critically ill patient, not referring patient for immediate care or engaging in critical care for a patient that is dyspneic, failure to communicate the seriousness of the disease to the pet owner. Errors 3222, number 12, as it relates to R115019 for altering records. Errors 3222, 18, as it relates to R11981D for failure to submit a timely response to a complaint as required. She was placed on probation for 2 years, ordered to do 12 hours of additional continuing education, and a $500 civil penalty. Those CE hours included 6 in critical care and or emergency in area of cardiopulmonary crisis and 6 hours in ethics. In 2000, Dr. Landman was found in violation of ARS 322232 number 1 as it relates to R11502H2, failure to perform an exam on a dog prior to a dental procedure. 3222-3221 relates to R11502L7, failure to document the name of fluids administered on a particular date. 3222-3221 as it relates to R11502L2, failure to document the medical record, the dog's weight. 3222-3221 as it relates to R11502L4 for failure to document in the medical record the dog's respiration rate. She was placed on probation for 1 year to do 4 hours of continuing education, medical record keeping, and a civil penalty of $500. Case 2184, which is the case that this case is related to, she was found in violation of ARS. She was ARS 3222-3212 as it relates to R311-511 for failure to use her professional and scientific knowledge with respect to detecting IBDD as an option for the dog's symptoms. She was placed on probation for 1 year in order to do 4 hours of continuing education in neurology IBDD and was issued a $1,000 civil penalty. In 2022, there was a case that Dr. Landman, that was filed against Dr. Landman. It was dismissed, but there was a letter of concern issued to ensure that there is clear communication with respect to aftercare when placing a splint and that the pet owner understands and his second radiograph views are essential in orthopedic cases. And again, in 2022, Dr. Landman was found in violation of ARS 3222-3218 as it relates to R11502J2, medical record keeping, also R11502D for failure to ensure that no expired supplies were used. Also on 3222-3218 as it relates to R11805B, failure to ensure prescription only drugs are not stored in an area accessible to the public. Also with respect to 3222-3218 as it relates to ARS 3222-74A5, failure to store phenobarbital in a safe manner, which is a controlled substance. 3222-326 for having professional connection with or lending one's name to any legal practitioner of veterinary medicine in the various branches thereof. Dr. Landman was ordered to pay a $5,000 civil penalty and 120 20 days from the effective date of the consent agreement that was offered. And 2331, which is a case in 2022 as well. The case was dismissed, but Dr. Landwood was issued a letter of concern for not complying with her consent agreement and the time limit.
Okay, so this is a very similar circumstances. Again, I don't feel like more money or more CE is going to help. So I'm going to propose a degree of censure.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second for a degree of censure. Any further discussion? Okay, we'll do roll call for that.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James was an aye. Mr. Lobey?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay, the ayes have it. Okay. Thank you.
That concludes that one.
Yep, we are. Is everybody good to keep going? Okay. So now we're on number 15, 2398, in regards to Antonio Ronan, CDT. So another straight to the board.
So case 2398, the complaint is Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board. The respondent is Antonio Ronan, CDT. At the February 15th, 2023, Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board meeting, after reviewing the Unit's veterinary imaging and mobile services website, the board was concerned that veterinary services are being provided without a veterinarian present and clients are scheduling appointments through PVMIS. The board also had concerns that the pet owners could be receiving a pet's diagnosis from an unlicensed practitioner, and that's related to case C-2312, Adrian Castro, who is also here if you have any questions.
Great. Okay, thank you, Ms. Ronan, for being here today, and I can give you up to 5 minutes to address the board if you'd like to start by introducing yourself for the record.
My name is Antonio Ronan. I didn't prepare anything, but I'm more than happy to answer any questions you guys have.
Okay, sounds good. Ms. Frost, you are the lead on this case.
And then are we also doing 5-1 with this?
Yes, would you like to start with do this one first and then the other, or? Kind of need to keep these ones separate since one is licensed versus unlicensed.
Yeah, I kind of have, I guess, the same questions for both, but I appreciate your response. And it does indicate that, there can be some confusion that the website was updated. Is that correct?
Yes.
I didn't see the website on the 15th, and it wasn't in our packets. Have we looked at the website to see if it's been updated since?
I did look, but it was
I might pull it up. And, but I guess so. We got the response. However. It's explained that veterinarians book the procedures and that the images are provided.
So the images are obtained on our ultrasound machines, right. And then those are provided to the veterinarian and they're submitted to telemedicine for review by the boards of medicine.
And who's submitting those to telemedicine?
We have an account that's submitted, or the veterinarians have us submit them to their account.
Okay, so when you submit them to your account, how does that work?
We submit them and then the report is also sent back to the veterinarian.
Okay. And then I don't really know how to proceed with this. I have a bunch of questions. I'm going to want copies of.
You want to move it to a form?
I guess. I appreciate the response and it sounds straightforward.
However, we just don't have any details of any of this corroborating that veterinarians make the appointments, that billing goes straight to the veterinarians, that the images, in order for those to be able to be sent to a radiologist or DICOM quality images, so how are those making it from their equipment to veterinarians? I have worked with veterinarians a long time. You guys are technically not real great at that, so I can't imagine that that happens often, that it's got to be the other way around. And then who's formalizing the reports and those types of things, because that's, I think, where it sounds like whenever this case was opened by the board, the concern was, how is this all being handled? And where it sounds like you could do it appropriately. There's a whole lot of ways that we might be, unintentionally maybe even issuing a diagnosis or a prognosis in the capture of those things. Because as a CBT, yes, I can do ultrasounds, gather the images, give them to the doctors that I work with. I can take x-rays. It's the same thing, right? Less hazardous, though, with ultrasound. So yay for safety. However, there could be things there that we just aren't capturing, and we need to make sure that we're protecting the public, essentially, right? And we've learned veterinarians are very unaware of some of these things, and so unknowingly could, you know, have a problem. Plus the transition of this practice from being, the documentation was a specialist, another specialist joined, then the first specialist left, and then the second specialist left. That could possibly leave a big gap and a lot of confusion there. And if it goes from veterinary practice, right, business to a non-veterinary practice business, then how did that transition, right? And what were the communications? So for that reason, I want to move it to an informal so we can request additional information. I don't know if now is the time to let board staff know what information we're going to want so that the informal is, that we have information for the informal, because it's not things that I can simply ask.
Sure.
It would have to be produced.
Is there any information I can provide to the board today?
So
what would you like?
Okay, so I'll start if any of the doctors want to fill in. I would ask for documentation of scheduling, how the scheduling happens, at least a couple of examples from veterinarians who have requested the ultrasounds, and what information that they've received. Some examples of the veterinarian submitting to specialty, as Ms. Antonia just said, along with the submission to their own specialty, and how the information goes back to the veterinarian, and again, copies of those veterinarian records that indicate that they issued diagnosis, prognosis, or communication to the client. Again, along with the billing process, and that corroborating that payment is made not through the client but through the veterinary practices.
And I can provide you with all the financial documents, the invoices, the payment receipts, and things like that. As far as communication to the client, we don't communicate with the client.
No, the veterinarian. So you'll provide information which veterinarians you worked with. The board staff will reach out to those veterinarians, okay. Not you. To get the medical record information that matches that relationship.
Okay.
Anything else?
Are we able to get ownership information?
Oh, it would be in the medical records. Oh, you mean business?
Yeah, yeah, medical, yeah.
Business ownership information?
Yeah.
Or what are you asking?
Yeah, basically business ownership information. Like I said, is it corporation owned? Is it individual? That kind of thing.
So entity type, and then filing status.
Why does that matter? Just out of curiosity.
Well, if it's owned by a veterinarian, it may be different than if it's not.
Yeah, because we've had cases before of businesses. Are we offering a service? Are we offering a medical service? And then really where in the statute do things fall up on, like, so we have these businesses that are offering pit bull services, these kinds of things for reproduction. Where is that line of medicine? That's always kind of the big question, because I think a lot of these issues come from corporate ownership trying to overstep bounds, and we have to kind of figure out where bounds are.
I don't know that it changes anything.
Yeah, we've had other businesses in front of us like that.
I guess that's
but if it's owned by a veterinarian, then it works out.
Yeah, then it's a whole different process, like, because we've had cases like that.
Not necessarily.
Because if it's a premise,
just because a veterinarian owns it doesn't mean the veterinarian's reviewing the records.
No, it's not about reviewing records. It's about, like, are we providing medical services and licensing status portion that way?
Because then there's going to be a premise license versus.
So we've had that request on other businesses that have come in front of us similar to this before.
I'm not understanding, but that's okay. Go ahead and request it.
I don't want to bring up other.
I don't need it, but go ahead and request it.
Well, I share the concerns about what type of business this was prior to the specialist leaving, and you brought that up. So there's concern.
That was in the response. Concern in my mind is
we went from that type of service to a totally different type of service, and so there you have questions regarding that transition.
Again, mostly because if you think about it, right, as a veterinarian, you've been using this service for 100,000 years. I'm a practice manager many times in the house that I wear, and so I wouldn't necessarily think to go to you, Dr. Nosley, and say, hey, Dr. Nosley, both of the specialists have left. There's no longer any specialists here. Are you still wanting us to have services provided from this business? And the reason I wouldn't think about it, right, is because we've always been doing it the same way, right? And again, one of the responses was I was trained to take the images, I provided the images, and then, you know, left, right? And so as a veterinarian, do you know that? Do you know that there's no longer any specialists there? What was the communication with that business transition? Again, because in one of the responses, it says the name of the business and then it was changed, but it's like a really, really tiny little change, right? And so again, what did that communication look like? And again, if we can reach out to veterinary practices that have this relationship, yes, do they know these are not boarded specialists there? They're contracting with a CBT who they are now their employer, right? Essentially, even if it's a contract employment, you are still responsible for their actions.
How does that affect the practice act? I mean,
Madam Chair, call for the question.
It used to have specialists involved. It no longer has specialists involved. Ideally, they communicated to their clients the change in their how they run their business. But if both of those situations meet the standard of care, why do we get involved in whether they communicated to their clients the change in their business plan?
Well, the question really comes in.
Am I missing something here?
The question comes in, like Ms. Frost already said. We have technicians that do services all the time. I can't remember, but I took an X-ray last week. But I mean, most of the time I don't take X-rays. I have my technician doing that. Are we structured basically like that, where we're just coming in, providing a service, and then we're just relaying the pictures over, and everything's good to go? Are we actually employing those technicians at that time as like a subcontractor, or are we actually paying a separate business as a service, and does that business need a doctor there at that point? So it's kind of, it's more of a structure portion, because this is a new area of things are changing in veterinary medicine, and we've got to figure out how we're dealing with these other services that are going to be involved. I mean, we can offer great services, and that's totally fine. I think that's awesome. But does it fit in with statute? Where do we overstep bounds, and what's going on? So this is going to be more of a, I think we're going to have to be addressing. But I think
that's
we're going to be addressing this.
And that's what we're looking at. That's what we're looking at, seeing the images that are supplied,
right,
and you write up a report.
Ultimately, I think this is going to be a rules thing that we're going to have to really get a lot of information, because I think we're going to have to address this eventually in a statute or a rules session, and gathering the information is the big thing for me right now.
I think what you're asking for with regards to records makes sense.
Well, basically,
we're just asking to ensure that the business type is who is
overseeing the CBT, because as a CBT, anything that I do has to be under the direct supervision of a veterinarian. So, do you know that you're supervising me, or is it the person that I'm working for supervising
Why can a CBT not obtain images without direct supervision?
Because we can't make
a non-CBT
the decision.
Could.
Well, but again, which equipment are we using? Where do we get licenses?
They're
now
not making
now we're pulling in like radiology standards.
Images.
Because these
have
to be inspected. So this is, we're just requesting information. This is a lot of questions for just requesting information.
And have a vote.
Because this is going to be a board issue eventually, I think. I don't think this is necessarily an individual business issue. It's something the board's going to have to figure out over time. And that's where we need the information.
So we have a motion to move this to an informal, and I think we've covered the questions that we know we want to ask. So we can talk about this for an hour next month as well. So do we have a second to the motion? Okay. Motion and a second to move this case to an informal. This is case 2398. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Nay. Two nays. Okay, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right, so now we're going to do, let's hop over to section five, number one. Board may review, discuss, and take action on unlicensed practitioner case C-2312 in regards to Adrian Castro. Ms. Frost, you are the lead on that one.
I have the same questions because all of the information is going to tell us, the responses, I understood. I don't have a problem with the responses, but does it match? And there was a reason that the board was concerned. Again, I didn't see the website before. It would be good to have maybe like a screenshot of the updated website because they could understand why it was confusing and it looked like clients could book through the website. So that makes sense that there was any sort of a concern. It's just making sure that we're protecting the public. And as a CBT, I know there are a lot of things that we can do. I appreciate our profession and I want it to succeed. And I want to make sure that we're able to grow it in an appropriate way. And yes, this is something outside the box, but that's what doing advanced imaging is going to do. A lot of veterinarians are uncomfortable taking images, ultrasound images, just because they don't feel like they're the expert. And with proper training, you can get beautiful ultrasound images that can be interpreted by a radiologist from afar. But again, if you are the veterinarian, I feel like you have the right to know that you are essentially overseeing them. This is your responsibility. So if something is wrong, it's coming back to you. And we've seen several times with telemedicine, like consult cases, that it comes back to the veterinarian and like, whoa, that was a specialist, right? And it's like, well, in this case, no, it wasn't. This is not a specialist, this is you.
Nikki, we have Adrian Castro here.
Yeah.
Did you or anyone have any questions?
Only if Adrian wants to say anything. Again, my questions are gonna be related to the materials that we're requesting.
So before Mr. Castro speaks, somebody's going to make fun of my analogy, but you can't stop everybody going on the freeway and remind them that the sign says only 75. Sometimes you wait till they make a mistake and then you do something. If you're not catching anybody doing anything wrong, then we quit looking.
Correct, but we haven't. I'll make fun of it here. We have statutes that say you have to follow that speed limit. We don't really have statutes around this realm right now. We don't have rules and statutes around here, and that's kind of the big thing. I think this is, I don't want to single out one particular business, but I think we as a board need to figure this out or send it over to the legislature to figure out. But we are kind of in this gray zone area, and we just got to make sure that we're protecting the public as much as we can. But the problem is we don't really have any ability to do a whole lot. And that's where we need to figure out this information and figure out how to deal with this. So I don't want to see this as an attack on individual business or commerce or anything like that. I think this is more of a information gathering thing where we need to start figuring this out as a board. This is something I've been heralding for a long time. We are going into a new area of veterinary medicine and we've got to catch up and figure this out. So that's kind of more where I'm requesting this information, figuring things out.
But we can't do anything about that. So which legislator are you going to invite down here so they can write? Well,
I think that's a good question. I think maybe that's something you think about.
Well, it's not going to happen until they're out of session.
But we also have rules abilities and we can change things in rules too. So maybe that's something we can address in our next rules session. So like I said, this is where we just need to gather this information for future things. And that's where I have a lot of questions and a lot of concerns. Again, not necessarily any particular problems with what's going on, but problems with how do we catch up with this on our end.
Okay.
Which is fine. We could agendize something to discuss this. But that doesn't have anything to do with the case at hand. Because the case, you're basically holding people accountable to rules that don't actually exist in
today's
world.
Well, we're not holding them accountable to anything right now.
You're holding them accountable to giving you all this information and going through multiple board sessions and doing all this stuff when there's no regulation that says they can't do what they're doing. I'm
here today instead of somewhere else.
Is something that we oversee. There's concern that an unlicensed practitioner is providing a diagnosis on a patient. That is something that we oversee and we're responsible for.
And
the case was open.
All the information.
I was assigned to it. I am asking for information. There's no judge, trial, jury at this moment. We're just getting information.
There's no reason not to get the information to answer the question that you have on unlicensed practitioners. Where Dr. Wright is going with, the board needs to address this, we need to make a rules change, we need to do all this.
Oh, that needs to be agendized differently.
That is on us as a board. That is not on them to provide us with documentation to build our case.
So we know too. I mean, this is just like any other committee asking questions about stuff. We're asking, we're trying to figure things out, and we have to just get the information we can get.
Okay.
I mean, that's really it.
We have Mr. Castro here. Would you, again, does anyone have any questions? Do you have a statement? Anything you would like to share?
I do not prepare a statement at all. My name is Adrian Castro, and I've been in the field since 1995. I've been working with this company since 2003. I have been through a couple of specialists, so I do know a thing or two as far as imaging. I did have some training back in 2018 from a boarded radiologist, as well as in the past working with two boarded internal medicine specialists. And I welcome any kind of questions if you have in regards to this.
Okay.
Mr. Castro, are you an employee of the business? Do you own the business? What's your...
I'm an employee.
Okay. And are you a CBT?
I am not.
Okay. Again, my questions are just going to be related to the information that we already asked for. Your response was thorough, so I don't have additional questions about your response at all.
Okay. So what are we going to do on this particular...
I'm just going to move it to an informal, because, again, some of my questions really have to do with the records that I'm asking for.
Okay.
And so I would like to make sure that there's some that Mr. Castro has done the imaging.
Okay. The point of it is to find a violation, potentially find a violation of unlicensed practitioner, but we're not certified. Why are we moving it forward?
I can understand on the other one.
We've got a licensed technician, but
this is
if we don't. If it's unlicensed practitioner, then I don't know.
Well, I think you have to make it. Conduct the informal and the other case, and then you'll, because ultimately you're going to have to determine whether they were engaged in the practice of unlicensed activity.
Okay. I'll just make a motion to continue then.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to continue section number five, item number one, in the case of C-2312. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
One, two, three nays. Okay. So the motion still passes. Okay. Thank you for being here. Would everybody like to take a break after that?
Can I ask a question real quick? Do we have our minutes from the February meeting, like on the vote to open the cases? I wasn't here for that meeting, so I'm super confused by this. Can we get that? I would like to have that. Thank you.
All right, let's take a 5-minute break.
Thank you.